This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com, and your host. Joining me to autopsy the Newcastle game, Mr. Chris Budd. Welcome.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
Creaking. My bones are creaking. Having to come back late.
It was a late one, wasn't it?
A midweek performance from Aston Villa that was like a blast from the past. It was like a
it was deflating, that one.
Comfort blanket where you go, oh, this has the warmth of familiarity from seasons gone by. Oh my God. The only positive I can take from that game was when they played at halftime Voodoo People, and there was a family that sit next to me.
Yeah, they were having it, weren't they?
They were dancing to it. That was the heartwarming distraction I was needing at that point in time. I missed the light show. How was that?
About as underwhelming as the game, to be honest.
Yeah, right. I thought it might be.
Less people involved than the first time we did it, I think is probably the way to put it.
Law of diminishing returns, Christopher.
I think so.
Right, let's get this out of the way, shall we? We were hoping that this would be a pivotal game. I think it is, actually. I think it's like if Villa were a share, we'd be downgrading its status to a... it wouldn't be a buy anymore. It'd be a hold, I think. Or a sell, probably. I don't think we're going to get much higher than fourth. If we'll see fourth again after the next game. So, yeah, sell. Not financial advice. Right, going into this, same again. Question marks, why didn't Bailey play? Why did Bailey come on so late against Chelsea? Emery addressed that at the end of the game when asked. Bailey has been suffering from a back problem. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
So he's been used sparingly, but he can do things with his back problem that I can't do.
Like what, David?
Well, beat two players in a flash of an eye. I mean, he was sizzling when he came on.
He was very
good. Got involved as well. I mean, 29 touches in the space of 28 minutes. I mean, that was more touches than Diaby had in 62 minutes. He had 19 touches. He had 24 against Chelsea as well, across 90 minutes. So Diaby's just not... He's kind of powder puff as well when he's on the ball now. I think it's because Villa aren't...
We don't play to his strengths.
They're so predictable that it's easy just to mark him out.
Yep.
You know, we're not mixing it up. We're not playing direct. We're not getting balls over the top to him. He's not running into space. There's not other runners dragging players around, so there's space for Diaby to run into and actually utilise his speed. He's just a sitting duck, essentially.
I mean, he spent, bless him, however long he was on the field, what, 70 minutes or so? Just
662.
Yeah, playing with his back to goal against Dan Burn, who's sort of twice his height. And you just thought, you know, I'm no, you know, tactical Yoda, but even I can see if you persist with that plan, that ain't going to work, is it? I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, to be, you know, Emery's got it pretty bloody right, hasn't he, in the last year, especially at Villa Park. We've been pretty full
last year. This year is another matter.
But everyone's allowed an off day. And unfortunately, I think Eddie Howe completely wiped the floor in terms of the tactical battle in that game.
Yeah, but the problem is, this is the same Villa that's been turning up the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's been coming, this result, I think, and certainly the performance.
Yeah, we were due a beating at Villa Park, for sure. I mean, we've scraped a few over line. Since the City game, it's almost like they left what they had for the season, they left it on the pitch in one game, because against Arsenal, as we said in that post-match game, pretty sure that it was Emery's decision to flip it, shooting towards the halt in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the goal they wanted, and then they basically was backs to the wall, wasn't it? They were living on a lot of luck in that game
as well. And really, they did the same at, you know, Brentford. Let's be honest, they rode their luck at Old Trafford. Even before we were kind of throwing the game away to lose 3-2, these performances sort of over the Christmas period and then have bled into the new year. I thought we were lucky at Chelsea in the cup. You know, another day, you're sort of a couple of goals down at half time. I think that just this, you know, this game specifically, Newcastle got the chances and the ball's in the back of the net.
First half, 30 minutes on the clock, they flash up the statistics and Villa haven't even had any kind of shot. And you're thinking, this just doesn't look good. And it's so predictable. And this has been the problem. It's because we haven't got that shithouse predator up front who's like sniffing out goals at all time, can score any moment. Then you've always got a problem, because we are very methodical on how we approach and how we attack.
Yeah, we have to construct goals, don't we? We're certainly not going to. I mean, you know, and you're not going to necessarily. I can't remember the last time we did, but you're not going to see someone smack one in the top corner from 30 yards. Are you at Villa Park? I can't remember the last time that happened.
It's not even that. You know the passages of play now, which is fair enough. But I was a little bit disappointed when they made those subs. And you thought, okay. And they were still playing the same plodding, predictable, playing it out. There was a couple of times where they played it over the top to Bailey and, you know, we were at the races.
Yeah.
But not enough. It was Newcastle. If I was a Newcastle defender, that's an easy night's work.
Absolutely. I think they had a very easy sort of 70 minutes for sure. I think Villa had maybe a 10-minute spell where you thought, you know, obviously Watkins gets the goal. There's another one disallowed. And you kind of think, wow, we could make a game of it here. And then they realised pretty quickly they could just go to a back five, sniff that threat out. And frankly, they could have had the fourth on the break. It was just not a good night. Frankly, actually, it wasn't a very good day for Villa in general on and off the pitch. And I thought, as soon as the ticket thing was announced in the morning, there was about 1,000 spare seats had been released. Terrace View, low grounds and resale and whatnot else. Yeah, it's not a good look. And then you sort of get to the ground, you've got, you know, a tepid light show where even less people have got involved. The atmosphere, I thought, was rubbish. It just felt like one of those nights where everything went wrong. Unfortunately, which, you know, it was going to happen. I think Emery said as much, didn't he, after the game, that, you know, we were going to lose a home game. I actually thought we might lose this one, but months back, I think once we got through City and Arsenal, I thought, right, Newcastle's going to be the next test, that Newcastle-Man U doubleheader.
Well, the weird thing is, it feels like we're in mid-table. That's the weird thing here.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of it's off the pitch. And you get knobheads online going, oh, this is help us with financial fair play, you know, £63 to be in the upper halt, which is kind of shocking. You know, any crystallized to me. Sorry?
I hadn't even actually realised, obviously, because I have a season ticket, I don't even sort of pay much attention
here to
the match day pricing, to be honest.
I knew it was expensive, but I just thought it was like, you know, 50s or whatever. And then when it hits you, and then in some blocks of the Trinity, it's like 68, and that's not even the most expensive. And you think, whoa, we are so close to that £100, which I'm sure Heck will get us over the line eventually.
He's still there.
And you just think, this will not have a good effect on the atmosphere at Villa Park. And if you don't understand why, then I can't really help you there.
I mean, it was bad, wasn't it, last night? I mean, the Newcastle fans away from home, they always make a good amount of noise anyway. They do have good away following. But I thought it was just one of those nights where you walk away from the ground completely deflated at the whole thing. It was just one of those bad nights at the office on and off the pitch.
Yeah, so going back to what I was saying, it's like, if you want your team on the field to be successful, especially in a tough assignment, which is top four, you've got to get everybody on side. So you can't be taking the piss out of supporters on various issues throughout. You've got to kind of bond them all moving in the same direction and get them on side, but genuinely not, you know, trying to manipulate it. I mean, to be fair, a lot of Villa fans did stick around for the majority. You know, you've 3-0 down quite early on, 5-2. If you go back a couple of seasons, there'd have been half the stadium left.
Oh, especially when, you know, you've got, you know, train issues, travel issues on the roads. A lot of people who would have just been thinking, especially ones from further afield, would have been going, well, that's game over, bollocks to this, I'm off.
You know, they stuck around. But what was happening on the pitch wasn't really... I mean, there was one moment, obviously, Watkins scores, it's flagged offside, and then it goes to VAR, and you're thinking, actually, if this is actually given, you're not expecting it to be given, but the game will come alive from a Villa point of view. 3-2, still a few minutes to go. And then you've got a spectacle, and then you're thinking, well, why the hell have we only just woken up, you know, with 20 minutes to go?
We kind of did the same on Friday, didn't we, at Chelsea? We and Everton was the same. We left it really late and then kind of went for it. It's a strange approach the last few games.
Looking at issues, what's gone wrong? I mean, you got to start where our play starts, at the back. I think Moreno hasn't reached the heights of last season, of the back end of last season. And I think half of it is when he's on the... He would play in tandem with somebody in the opponent's half when he's attacking. He would normally have somebody with him, alongside him, whether it was Buendia or Ramsey, playing closer to him.
Yeah.
And I was watching it, and he was pretty much on his own, and he had 2-3 players in front of him all the time, and his crossing isn't good as Luka Dean. So a lot of the time, out of just desperation, he was having to try to cross it in, and it, you know, it wasn't really beating the first man. But that was because it was last ditch cross, because that was his only option. So there's nobody getting out there with him. The Villa midfield's very narrow. Even when Ramsey came on, he didn't really exert himself out there and to help Moreno. So that is a big problem for Moreno. He hasn't got any helper out there.
No, I mean, I remember we sort of spoke a few weeks back when come through the good period, and we thought, right, when we get Ramsey and Moreno back fully fit and firing on that left-hand side, we're going to be really in business here. It's going to give us that extra gear. How wrong I was saying that. I mean, geez, because actually I don't think Moreno's still fully fit. He's certainly not match sharp, I don't think. And obviously Ramsey's way off it at the moment. You know, his first half of the season has been a write-off, but the whole thing's become very predictable. And you're right, you know, Moreno would always play lots of little intricate 1-2s, lots of nice interplay, get to the byline, and generally he'd be pulling back because he's not going to whip it like Dina can. So you have to play slightly differently.
But he would also be cutting into the 18 by playing the, you know, little short 1-2.
Yeah, he felt very dynamic, and we've lost a lot of that dynamism.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I mean, the big thing you could spot really from the first, you know, the first time we had a goal kick playing out from the back was Newcastle went man to man on our box midfield. So they put a man on each of those four guys. All of a sudden, Martinez is looking at it going, well, I can't go short here. Or I go short to Konsa or Longley, and then it maybe goes to a fullback. But ultimately, the ball has to go forwards. And we've only got one ball on now, which is down the line. So you're either knocking it long into Watkins, which I think Watkins actually put in a good shift under the circumstances. We didn't get the second ball. Or you're going long to Diaby, who's up against Dan Byrne. And you think, there's a mismatch if ever there was one. Whereas if you put it in behind them and go to Diaby, you know, back yourself in a foot race, he's far more likely to be in business. I just think the plan wasn't there. Or, you know, you have to give obviously Eddie Howe and Newcastle credit. They had a plan, they stuck to it, and I think they did very well, both without the ball and then with it, because I think we only caught them offside in the first half, maybe once or twice. They were going long out to Gordon, and he was onside two or three times. But I just think it didn't work.
Yeah. Going back to looking across that line, then you've got Longley, who's playing it out the back. You know, he's in for Torres, obviously.
And he isn't as good as Torres at that side.
He's not as quick-witted. He's a lot more ponderous. I mean, he can pass, but it becomes very predictable. When it's slow, you haven't got that zip. You're not playing it into the two deep sitters with any zip. And Torres, he does, to a certain extent, kind of suspend time when he's on the ball. And he creates time for himself very well. Mm-hmm. Longley is a bit more, he's kind of a bit more functional. I mean, he can play a pass, but it's just he doesn't create space for himself, slows it right down. And when it's slowed down, then it just does not work because it's predictable. It's easy to mark against and close down potential passing options and, you know, passing lanes. And then we're struggling.
We get bogged down very quickly. And we have to, you know, it happened at Brentford. At times it happened at Old Trafford, although I thought actually Man U were pretty shit at the back on the day. It's definitely happened again, you know, in games like Everton, Sheffield United. It happened against Newcastle as well and a few others. It's kind of like we've seen this trend where if teams get in and amongst our midfield and stop it, then of course we're going to struggle.
Yeah, we saw it against Leicester last season.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
When Leicester sat on those two deep sitters, they let Martinez, they let Mings have the ball, you know, even Konsa, because they knew they had to play it into those two deep sitters. So they pounced on them and that just disrupted it. And that is the key to, especially when Torres isn't there, it's the key to upsetting this whole method of playing.
Yeah, and obviously you lose because you play a box midfield, you don't have width, or with Tielemans, you're offsetting a ball carrier who's dynamic for a guy who can pass and thread the ball through the eye of a needle, which I think he did really well in the City game, didn't he? He played very well. That midfield worked well. It's kind of, it's blown
Tielemans
out of cold.
Works, yeah, when you're playing with a bit of speed,
yeah,
and you're actually playing through the midfield,
yeah,
and then he's the next person to get the ball, and he can make things happen.
Yeah,
let's talk in tandem. In this situation, he's dysfunctional almost.
Yes, because it's not his game. He wants, if you give him runners, as you said, if you've got a system around him that's moving, he's like, right, where's the pass? And he'll generally pick the right one. And I remember the goal against, it was the Arsenal goal, wasn't it? Fabulous goal. Tielemans involved in that. I think he was involved in the Bailey goal against City as well. He's had a few, and he was very good in Altmar, doing the same role, a bit further forward. But he's not a winger. So we lacked a bit of width, which Newcastle had a lot of, which meant they always had an out ball. We didn't have the out ball. And as you said earlier, when we did, it was Moreno against two or potentially three. And then the other out ball, of course, which we're never going to be able to play, is we didn't have the ability to go long or into feet and sort of play off the lone striker. Watkins can do that, but it's not really how you get the best out of him. He's better when it's short and into feet and guys sort of playing off him in much shorter sort of 5-10 yard passes and sort of interplay rather than like lump it up, hope for the best, get the second ball. That's not what we're good at. And Newcastle must have thought, wow, this is brilliant for us. You know, we've got three massive lads at the back, bar Trippier, who have had, as you said, a really easy night's work. And then you sort of knew that, well, Villa mistakes are going to come at the back. They were one of the few teams this year at Villa Park who've actually, you know, made Villa pay for those mistakes. But at 2-0, you've got an uphill struggle. And you thought, well, you came out, you know, for the second half. You thought, well, he's surely got to change something here, either personnel, system or approach. And within 5 minutes, you're 3-0 down because really nothing changed. You know, within, I think, about a minute of the second half start, Newcastle had a corner because basically we were fucking about because we hadn't played out of the back with any zip. And Newcastle were like, we can kill the game here. And you thought, well, if Villa ever got it back to 2-1, in those sort of first, you know, call it 5-10 minutes of the second half, I think it would have been game on. You'd have lifted the crowd. Very different game of football, but
just
never got. And we've tended to do this a lot where we haven't started second halves well.
That triple substitution should have been at half time, I think, to shake it up a bit.
I'd have made a double change at half time. I'd have gone with Bailey for Diaby and I'd have gone with Zaniolo for Tielemans.
Yeah. In the plus column, Longley did actually make a couple of good blocks. I mean, goal saving blocks, I would add.
Yep.
So he kept the score down.
And Martinez made a couple of class saves, didn't he, as well?
Yeah, he made a big save at the end, which kept it down from 4-1.
Yep.
But, I mean, their goals,
they're awful.
You know, it's on a circus reel, isn't it?
The first one is just horrible. I mean, yeah, we all give McPhee credit, you know, when set pieces go well or you get a nice creative routine, you go, yep, that's straight off the training ground. But fundamentals of like defending a corner, I mean, I've always had a thing. If someone scores with their feet from a corner, like the first goal was, again, gets whipped in, good ball, but it's a volley. You think, what the fuck are you doing?
No Villa fullbacks on the line either. There was nothing on the line, and that first one would have been avoided if somebody was on the near post.
Yeah, it's a dreadful goal.
I can't remember off the top of my head if this is how we're defending corners. We don't have players on the post, so I'll have to.
Yeah, I think we've been going man for man, but
keep an
real,
eye on
real
that
mismatch. It's sort of Louise and Konsa are like, they pass their man over to each other and you think, who's got who? And then Konsa's too late to react and, you know, Shah volleys it in. It's a good finish. The second one, a little bit lucky, you know, very close to A being offside and you get the deflection off Longley, takes it onto the bar. But I say this all the time, but you know, you make your own luck sometimes, and fuck me, did Villa not make their own luck and haven't been in the last few weeks.
We've had periods over the last couple of years where we've had runs where the defence has been a real solid unit.
Mm-hmm.
And was always very capable of getting clean sheets. Now I have, beyond Martinez, I've got little confidence in this current setup.
Yeah, I mean, we played against, you know, when we played Arsenal, City, you had Konsa at right back, Carlos obviously Torres and Dean. So it's a very different lineup. But all on paper, these are all still very good players who should be capable. And they've obviously been playing a few games together over the last few weeks. But it feels like we've come back from a much needed, in Villa's case, a winter break. And we're spluttering. It's almost like we can't get going.
So it's like we've gone back to 2022 and forgotten about 2023.
It's very similar, actually, to that period, you know, where we lost to City, Arsenal, Leicester, isn't it? And it's kind of like this little period here will define the season. Now, I don't think Newcastle specifically defines the season, but it has the potential to, because you could look back in a month's time and say that was a sliding doors where we had to just reset slightly or just change our approach. What you don't want to happen is you've had a little bumpy run over Christmas where you thought, well, if you come through it and beat Newcastle, you think, well done, you know, at worst, you lost to United, a couple of draws, etc., but not the worst. As wobbles go, it's a mini one, isn't it? It's not like, you know, what Spurs lost 5, didn't they? Or Arsenal had a bad run. But now you're putting pressure on yourself. You've got to go to Sheffield United and win that game, because I think if you lose that game, and it's not a banker that we will win that game, I think
we couldn't beat them at Villa Park.
You can become very uptight and you're like, oh, fucking hell, what's happened here? And then, of course, you've got United and I think you do need to beat United just to kind of get everyone going, right, we need a win and you need a performance. Newcastle, you'd have taken the win and no performance, and, you know, not a good performance, similar to Chelsea.
Yeah, the thing about this game against Newcastle, though, the writing has been on the wall, so it's no surprise, and that is the concern. It's not like a one-off game where it's like, oh, this could be sliding doors.
No,
it's
we got
like
what we deserved. We got
the last period. The last period. And if we were going to play any team that actually had a bit of firepower and a bit of anything about them, they would take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And if we're not controlling games, like against City, then you haven't got much chance of a clean sheet. I mean, there was lots of wayward passing at the start of this game as well. So it got a bit nervy and a bit jittery. Any final words?
We just need a quick reaction, don't we? I'm glad we've got a game, you know, straight afterwards. Sheffield, you got Chelsea, United quick. So you've got a few games back to back to back to hopefully turn this one round. And
zoom out, though, I'm not looking confident, because I'm looking at Duran's now injured. There were certain things that needed to align for us to really be a top four contender. One, you needed Duran to come to the party and be that kind of backup player that will get the odd goal here and there off the bench. He's disappeared. And what's the cavalry? What's the other options to Watkins? And what's the backup? It's just trying to convert Zaniola, who can't hit a barn door, you know, with a banjo. Is it?
And then obviously, you know, you got the new lad coming in from Borough, who we you know, we don't know yet. That's kind of going to be a bit of a, you know, question mark for a while.
Yeah, but he's expecting him to bolt out and fire us to glory. So, you know, he's a championship player at the moment.
Yeah, and he's going to need to step up. And also, you know, you'd imagine for a championship player with everything you hear about what goes on at Bodymore, the sheer volume of information he's going to get thrown at him over the next few weeks, you'd imagine will be mind-blowing.
Yeah, but information's all well, but it's just at the moment, it's so predictable. And this is now the big test for Emery.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.